You're listening to the Action Figure Blues podcast, episode number 369, brought to you by Apple Music, Audible, and actionfigureblues.com. I'm Ben, and with me tonight are...
Scotty.
And Eddie.
Tonight, our toys of the week are the McFarlane DC Multiverse Arkham Batman and Joker, and the Mezco exclusive comic Wonder Woman. Our discussion topic is a breakdown of the Mezco 112 Collective Moon Knight action figure. Hello, hello. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Hey. Good Lord.
Hello.
Computers, and it's like I've never done this before. Good grief.
Yes,
three
yes.
Hours later here.
To listeners, it's been about 30 seconds. To us, it's been about 4 days.
It's not just software. It's all the presets. You know, when you're like, oh my gosh, wait, I've got that done set exactly right on my old computer, but I think... We finally sorted it out. Just nobody's allowed to move.
I think without realizing, I've still got the Microsoft paperclip active. And between recordings, it just goes, hey, looks like you've got some settings that could use some adjusting. I'll do that while you're away. And then when we come to record again, it's like, but I haven't changed anything. How can it not be working? Anyway.
I'm sorry. You still have Clippy.
No.
Okay.
I did not have Clippy running. No.
Okay.
Yes. Anyway, Mr. Scotty, how are your ISO going?
My ISO is great, yeah. I have ended up working for myself, crazy events. So, first of all, worst boss ever so far.
Sexually harassing yourself?
Yeah, hashtag me too.
That has been the hardest. Cool. So, it's all stuff happening. It's, you know, kind of happen in a crazy way. It's kind of crazy. Very fortunate environment to be in a great position, you know, of having lost work because of COVID, but have work there and that I can pick up, and I feel very, very, very privileged. So, yes. But I have a list of things that must get done around the house from Mrs. Scotty before I'm allowed to actually get sucked in next thing. So, yes. So, and this is quite extensive. So, I do have a fun fact to share. I think, did I mention that I got a Ring video doorbell?
Mm-hmm.
No, I did?
Yep.
It rings a bell.
It rings a bell.
You're talking about how you were spying on your family members when they come home.
Oh, yeah. That's so cool. So, and I've got the Ring app on my Apple Watch. And so whenever there's movement detected at the door, it says there's movement at your door, etc. And if anyone wants to know how long the novelty of saying there's movement at the door every time you come in and out is, according to my family, it was 48 hours.
Yes.
So I haven't given up yet, but they're like, that is so old and dumb, Dad. Anyway.
Yes. Yeah. It's like it needs an additional piece of software that's like a threat assessment. It's like, don't bother me unless it's like a 7 out of 10 or above.
Oh, it's so cool. Anyway, that's me.
Excellent. Excellent. What about you, Mr. Eddie?
Well, mine's just all kind of the same. So my big kick in ISO at the moment is trying to support local breweries and trying out a few different beers.
It's really
so
noble of you.
I forgot to mention last week I had a Two Birds pale ale, and tonight I am consuming the Moondog Pavlova pale ale, which is a nice dessert beer.
Good.
So that's been my kick of recent.
It's actually pretty impressive given that you didn't actually drink before this. Of all the things you could have supported.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Love
excellent.
It.
Yeah, well, not much happening on my end. Yeah, I as many people are probably aware that while schools are closed, there's been remote learning, but the city I live in is doing very well in the world of the COVID-19 pandemic, and I have two children back at school and one more going back next week. So the dog and I are very much looking forward to some quiet time. The dog's exhausted. Like, I just don't think she's used to having so many people all the time, and they all want to take her out and they're all patting her. And I think when they have their brain breaks, they actually go and seek her out just for some affection, and she literally is just like, I've had enough. So, yeah, so we're both
Well, there was that story of the dog that sprained its tail that was so happy that it was home as well. Home the whole time.
So, and she's exhausted. Like she crashes at about 8 o'clock, and you can't get any sense out of her. So, yes. But anyway, we are here to talk about toys, action figures, and other things. Mr. Scotty, have you acquisitioned anything of interest since we last spoke?
I have acquired. Yes. So I have obviously the stuff that I am reviewing tonight, which includes the latest McFarlane DC figures. We're doing the Arkham figures. I do have the Wonder Woman ones as well, but I don't think...
Not yet. I kind of want to see them in person before I...
Really very nice. Yeah. I don't normally buy movie figures, but they're really very nice. And the gold, the armored, Kingdom Come looking one in particular. I got my Red Hulk exclusive giant figure. My goodness, that's huge.
Oh, cool.
I know. Yeah, so... And the Marvel Legends Black Widow wave is sitting waiting to be opened. Else? Oh, I've decided to start picking up the DC Collectibles Direct multi-part Teen Titans statue. I didn't actually realize that Joe Mena, our good friend, has sculpted all of them, and they are quite amazing. And there were a couple that have been sitting at my local comic shop, and in the absence of new things coming in, I've been trying to really support them. So I thought, well, I'll get them. It was Robin and Starfire. I don't need them all. Like, who am I? Where was I thinking? Of course I need them all. So, yeah. So
I was actually thinking, that sounds a bit unusual, but I'll let him continue.
Yeah, no, that lasted. First of all, it was like, look, I would like to really want to keep trying to do support local comic shop. And so I make, I'm still doing my week, hello, how are you? But I think probably a lot of people are really spending, so trying to do that. So I thought, okay, I'll grab them because they are pretty cool. The Starfire is pretty amazing. I actually found some of them on Amazon for reasonable prices because they're not big, like they're one scale. And the retail price in Australia when they came out was kind of at the 130, 150 mark. And that was just kind of too much for me for the size of the pieces and the number of pieces in the multi-part statue. But I've managed to find some of them much cheaper on it. Yeah. And then the one that I couldn't find anywhere else, I managed to find on a website of a comic shop that is in Melbourne that I didn't even know existed, called Incognito Comics.
Yes.
Do you know them?
I know of Incognito, but I thought they were actually based in Perth, but I've ordered supplies from them in the past.
Okay, but so they're based in Moorabbin, which is not terribly far from me, and cool. So I shall definitely search for a thing. So, yeah, that is my noteworthy. Oh, wait. And I also got the Stanley Hudson pop from The Office. I think I talked about him on the last show, at least. But
yeah,
he's still sitting here.
Cool.
Stanley with the pretzel. It's pretzel.
Yeah, very good. Very good. What about you, Mr. Eddie? Have you appropriated anything new?
Wait, that sounds like stole it. Appropriated.
Well, maybe. we don't sort of talk our buying arrangements here. But
okay, fair enough. Yeah.
But like Scotty, I did manage to get the Red Hulk figure in and successfully used it to tease friend of the show, Larry Buckshall, into trying to get him to pick up some Hulk Marvel Legends. I do also have my Black Widow and first wave of G.I. Joe Classifieds currently on the way, which is exciting. I forgot to mention last episode, but I backed my very first Kickstarter, which was a little indie Kickstarter that not too many people in the action figure community probably would have heard of, by a man called Todd McFarlane, of his relaunch of the Spawn line. And he seemed to do all right with it.
He just got over the line, didn't it?
Yeah, it was like 100,000 they wanted for it to be successful, and ended up making over 3 million on it. So I think that is classified as doing okay. So that was exciting. I went all in on that, and they kept announcing more and more sort of exclusives and all bits and pieces chucked in. And because I went for the highest tier, everything that they announced I was getting. So it was sort of like a little advent calendar where each day I was getting like a new piece for this toy.
Yes, that's fun. That's yeah. Like Mythic Legions did that as well. And gosh, it was fun getting up in the morning and seeing what had been changed.
So, and I do have a little bit of faith that he knows what he's doing when it comes to action figure production and stuff like that. So I'm hoping it's not going to be like other sort of Kickstarter stories I hear where they say, oh, I'll be here by this date. And it's, oh, we had issues here. And I didn't quite know that I had to do this with the factory. So it's going to be delayed a couple of months. And
turns out you've got to pay bills. So,
yeah. Oh. So hopefully it does. They're aiming for, I think it's November, to be getting it out to people. So fingers crossed that that might potentially be doable. And that'll be an interesting thing to review. I also had one of those weird things where I had my fifth wave of Power Rangers Lightning Collection arrive, and I'm still waiting on my fourth wave. So that was a bit of a odd, okay, I've got the wave after the wave that I was expecting to ship through first, but they're quite cool. And that's got the Blue Ranger, which is one of my personal faves. So excited to have that.
Very cool.
Excellent.
What about you, Mr. Ben?
A couple of things. Yeah, I was on one of Facebook pages for Marvel Legends and was once again being assaulted by all of the Americans who whinge about how hard it is to get Walgreens exclusives. And I finally sort of had enough and went, you know, I'm in Australia, so, you know, at least you can actually walk into Walgreens. You know, I can't. I don't actually have a Stepford Cuckoo yet. And I actually got contacted by, gosh, you know, you might remember him from the Critical Mess days, Scotty, Jersey Maniac, whose real name is Dave, contacted me and said, well, you know, why didn't you tell me that you wanted some? So within a matter of days, he'd actually sourced four of them for me. So I was very excited about that. So now I'm at that point where, because I've got four of the cuckoos, do I try for a fifth one to do the full five,
you know, sisters, cuckoos,
or do I get rid of one and then just stick with the three? Because in the comics,
I think you should get rid of one and give it to
I can swap it. I could swap it for a Kree Sentinel head or something like that. Yeah.
Oh my god.
we'll look back at this at episode 486 and remember that. Anyway, another one that was quite interesting was what feels like 100 years ago, I ordered a Death Dealer quarter scale bust from an Italian company called, Tago Collectibles, T-A-G-O, Targo Collectibles.
Targo.
Yeah, and I'd pretty much given up. There was no updates, nothing. Their Facebook page, they go on about all their other stuff. There was very little updates about this piece. And I'd pretty much forgotten all about it. And then I got a call from my e-tailer of choice here in Australia and said, hey, you know, you ordered this way back, it's here, and, you know, it was on pre-order, so you need to pay the balance. And I got it and have mixed feelings about it, which I shall go into in more detail probably next week. I'll review it. I've actually been taunting them on their Facebook page for not actually responding to me. So I think it's just become a game now of me just being a pest until they probably will end up banning me. So I haven't been banned from anywhere for a while, so this looks like the next best option, I think. So it's more about, you know, when you have some QC issues and a customer contacts you, you could at least have the courtesy to respond. So
anyway,
I know.
Irrational. It's
times we live in. So I think that's about me. Oh, well, you know, like Scott, like Eddie, I have the G.I. Joe figures en route. So hopefully both of them will get here and we'll have them at the same time and we can do a breakdown on a
Since we've had waves ship fairly close together. Like,
well, that's because
normally one of us gets it and then the other one gets it 2 months.
Yeah, that's because I'm two waves of Marvel Legends behind because another e-tailer of choice keeps telling me that they are lost in the mail. So,
oh no,
not thrilled about that one. And yes, anyway, We'll see. We'll see. But we do have lots of toys to talk about anyway, so I think maybe we should probably get on with things and have a bit of a chat.
Now you can have your own special Captain Planet adventure with your favorite Planeteers. There's Wheeler, who has the power of fire, and the daring Linka with the power of wind. You can even use the Planeteers' eco-cycle. And your own power rings will let you call Captain Planet. Bring him to the rescue and save the Earth. Captain Planet and the Planeteers, now available at Kmart.
Well, now it's time for one of our feature segments, Toy of the Week. And each episode, we take turns looking at one toy or collectible in detail. And these might be new releases, or we might talk about favorite or bizarre items from our collection. And kicking things off is Eddie. And I think this is almost a bit of a toy breakdown as much as it is Toy of the Week, because Mr. Scotty, you have these figures as well. But
Eddie's the lead, and I'm the doo-wops.
All righty. Yep. I'll hand over to Eddie. Take it away.
Ah, thank you, Mr. Ben. So, yes, as was hinted at, we are talking about the new McFarlane multiverse figures. Two of them, Batman and Joker, based off their looks from the Arkham video games. In particular, the design of these two comes off the original game, Arkham Asylum, which came out in, I believe it was like 2008, 2009. So,
oh my goodness.
For a video game over 10 years to still be in heavy sort of circulation in terms of products and media, and even the last game, Arkham Knight, came out over 5 years ago, which was the there's rumors of another one being in the works, but for all intensive purposes, that was the final game in the series. For this franchise to still be kind of ticking along and still being a major aspect of the Batman franchise is credits. They are very good games. They are considered to be some of the greatest video games, not just of Batman, but just in all time. They're extremely popular. I think a large part of that comes down to it's a lot of the team that worked on the Batman animated series. You've got Paul Dini writing a lot of the games. You've got Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy returning and doing the voices of these characters. And they really do know their stuff. And there's a lot of in-depth references to even characters such as Ratcatcher and the Whale. And they get really deep and obscure with some Batman references in it. So it is definitely a huge part of modern-day Batman's mythos. The games sell on levels of a big Hollywood blockbuster movie. So I can definitely see why you might make action figures of them, even though the media itself hasn't been out in some time. It's definitely a huge part of the fandom of Batman that have never picked up a comic know a lot of the world through the video games. So I know there was a bit of controversy about doing these as figures because DC Collectibles have done them. Mattel did some versions of them, and they are characters you do get a lot of, Batman and the Joker. So I was wondering, you know, how would these characters go for someone who's never played the game? Scotty, like, did you pick these up just as good representations of a Batman and a Joker, or are you going completionist on multiverse?
Look, I decided to get these because I really think the Joker is great, and I think that, you know, the Arkham looks are, I know they're not canon, but they have become so integrated with the comics that they don't even feel like figures to me. So, and yeah, I don't think I would get all of these, like the, but these two, just I think because the line is still new and still working out what these are going to be.
I think taking a look at because we have gotten a comic book Batman in the McFarlane line, but for, you know, this is kind of really the first Joker that we've gotten. And I do think if you were just collecting it in terms of comic book characters, you could buy this Joker and put it next to that comic book Batman, and he would work fine.
For sure.
they do work really well together. He's probably out of the two of them the lesser in terms of capturing the video game look of the character. I do think that the white they've used on the Joker is a little too white. In the game, it's a bit of a dirtier white. And I don't think it's necessarily a fault of the sculpt, but they've got him in an angry look. So he's got his eyebrows down and furrowed, and he's got a kind of closed mouth look, and it makes the middle of his face look a little bit squashy, whereas the Joker in the game is often big and bombastic and happy. So generally in the game, when you're seeing him, he's got more arched upwards eyebrows in sort of a happy look, and he's often got his mouth open and sort of enjoying life a little bit more. And when it's closed, it's often that sort of closed mouth, but you've still got the big paint of the smile coming around. So him having this kind of angry grin and scowl isn't really a look you see him in the video game have a lot. And so I think that also weakens your sort of thing. He's generally got more of a nice, happy, I'm enjoying myself at this stage phase than this kind of slightly more, it's an angry scowl with a smile, but particularly the eyebrows in the position that they're in, I think, do stop it from being that iconic Arkham Joker look. But the costume purple outfit is really well done. My only complaint with this is he does have a patch on his left knee. And what they've done on this figure is they've just made it the sort of where you've got the double knee joint, the knee part in there. They've just used a different texture on to the rest of the pantsuit, whereas on the actual design it was a much bigger kind of rectangle square that runs over a larger chunk of his leg. So that kind of – that's a real nitpick. I'm getting into the real basics there. But everything else on it, like having kind of the pinstripe pattern to the watch chain in his pocket, all that – through is really fantastically done. And I do like the amount of articulation he's got in him that's well hidden. So he's got kind of the butterfly-ish kind of joints in the shoulder with that extra kind of figure arts loose piece that's hanging around in there. But unlike the animated figures, it's very hidden in the folds of the fabric. You're not going to notice it as much. The ruffs of his ends of his sleeves. He's got kind of ruffs there in his costume that does help to hide the ball joint in there. He does have an ab crunch. It doesn't look like he's got one, but his coat's actually a soft rubber. So you can get ab crunch going back, particularly back. You get very far back, but forward there. And it's got a little bit of a ball joint rocker at the waist too. So you get a lot of swivel going on with the waist there. He can do very nice splits with the McFarlane hip joint, double jointed knees. He's even got toe articulation and a hinge ball joint in at the ankles. So you can get a lot of posability out of him for a guy that hides his articulation quite well.
I think this is a fantastic figure. In the articulation is great. The posability of this, I think you could achieve a lot of the kind of crazy Joker poses and actions that you might want through this. So I can see this be in a lot of photography, this particular.
Yeah, like even particular, I love, because he's got the hinge ball joint in the wrist, you can get a lot of sort of limp-wristed holding of his gun, which is very Joker to me, like someone who's very sort of nonchalantly swinging a gun around or not really focusing on where he's pointing it or posing, which I do like a fair bit. I don't particularly remember this gun from the video game at any point. He doesn't overly use guns, but I'm sure he does in like a little cutaway scene. He needs to kill a witness or any little things like that. You know, he could be a moment. He pulls out a gun, shoots someone, one of his henchmen, and then walks off through. It's never a major part of the game. So I don't remember this gun specifically, but it's a nice kind of revolver gun that's a little bit oversized, and you could see the Joker using. The main pieces he comes with are kind of those wind up chattering teeth, which are a big part of the games. You'll find them throughout. They're kind of like a mini collectible that you can just sort of throw your batarangs at, destroy, and get little bits of experience points to upgrade. But they're constantly all over the place. They're almost like coins in Mario. So you kind of find those. And they're it's really kind of clever game design where if you're in an area and it's got those in them, you know you haven't been through there before, because otherwise you would have thrown your batarang at them and destroyed them. So it's also a good key in a game where you're backtracking forth and that, like, okay, I've been in this area before, so, or I wonder if I need to go down this corridor, you turn, you see those teeth, it's like, okay, so I haven't been down here before. Or potentially if you're going into an area of the asylum that you have before, but you need to go back there in the game, obviously something's changed here, the Joker's been back through, and now there's these chattering teeth on the ground. So a very iconic part of the game, so it's good to have those chattering teeth included.
They're fun too. Like, I, you know, they're just a different sort of pack-in from what you get. So now I understand what the significance. I probably will lose them before the end of this episode, but I really like them.
And so the other figure being, of course, for a Batman game, you need to have a figure of Batman. And
so literal.
I know I am. I like doing it too. So I really like the Arkham design of Batman. It's is kind of a cross between the comic book and the Michael Keaton Batman, particularly in the cowl. I get a lot of that Keaton Batman coming through. I think it's because in the Arkham version you can see his eyes through the cowl, and it does give it that very movie look. Which this version does have in it there as well. And you do sort of have a molded on scale in his cowl. I love that it's one of the few realistic versions of Batman that they do, where he's got the very elongated pointed ears, which is fantastic to get a version of that. That's often when he's done, he's got sort of little stubbly ears, but this one's that kind of almost Kelly Jones style, huge points on them. Same with his bat prongs. They really stick out in this version. It is a kind of rubber suit that has little bits of kind of nail swivels and pieces throughout, and kind of looks like it's got stretchy material hidden in and between. And he's got big metal shin guards and wrist gauntlets that the prongs come out of that really make it feel like it would hurt if this guy was to punch or kick you down, and you're going to be taken down by him. I love the sort of raised bat symbol on his chest. Nice. That's works really well in that both his chest and the symbol are matte gray and matte black, but it helps sort of break them apart and feel like an extra piece there to the costume. I love the kind of goldy bronze look to the bat belt that he's wearing and has on there. Now, the belt and the underwear are kind of a rubber diaper piece, but it doesn't really feel like it's a huge, thick diaper piece to me. It doesn't come across as being horrible or it's kind of like a large diaper that these figures can sometimes suffer from. Are you finding that at all, Scotty, or does it sit well for you?
Look, I think that because it's not as obvious on this because it's all muted tone, so the same as, you know, I don't, as we talked about when we reviewed the first wave, I don't love this chest cut, but it's not as pronounced just because of the muted gray and black. So yeah, I do. I totally understand what you're saying. Now I can see all like
That's all right.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. For me, I think where he suffers a little bit, and this is one just on mine, but the jaw part of the cowl is a separate piece that looks to be glued on, and mine is slightly off center. So the tip of the cowl on the nose doesn't quite match up perfectly with the nose itself. And it's only by like a millimeter, but it's enough that it kind of sticks out if you're looking at him up close from a distance. Doesn't bother at all. And I don't know if the ball joints in his wrist and his ankles work as well, because they're a very shiny plastic black, whereas everything around it's kind of this silvery gunmetal grey tone. So they can stand out a fair bit, depending on how you have him articulated and posed around.
Yeah, I think that the posability of this is great, and I think that you know, you could really do some fun diorama and photography with these two figures reference the game. So, like, I think it's amazing. How faithful would you say, like, in terms of the head sculpt, that is to the game?
It's fairly good. So I don't know specifically if this is based on the first Arkham game or the second one, Arkham City, because he does wear a very similar outfit in both games. So you're getting it's a bit like telling A New Hope Vader from Return of the Jedi Vaders. Like, sure. Diehards will be able to tell you, oh, well, this only has, you know, two buckles to it, whereas this version has three buckles, or, like, you're getting down to that sort of specificity. But it is, particularly the cowl, is very authentic to the first two costume versions. Okay. From those games.
Because the one thing that I don't love about this figure is I don't know if it's the shape of the head or the mask feels like it sits on his cheeks in a really odd way. Like, if you think about a head under that mask, it feels like they're quite odd. I don't know.
I think to me, and this could be nostalgia for me from the game, or it could be because this is how weird it gets into in things like video game designs. But if you look at him from behind, so if you're looking at the back of his head, and if you sort of tilt the head so it's he's kind of looking over his shoulder almost back at you, or looking over his left or right shoulder, like, really that's kind of what you see in the game, because as you're playing with him, it's kind of a third person view. So you're looking at him most of the time from behind. So I think those little, where you've got kind of those upper cheek dimple type cutout in the cowl for how high up that rides, is to kind of give you that little bit of a look of his face when you're looking at him from behind and he's kind of turning his head and that, okay. If that kind of makes sense.
The profile actually works a lot better than.
Yeah. So I think that's how that face is kind of designed to be, because it is a bit of an odd face, particularly when you're looking on him front on, because really in the game, you don't see him that often front on unless it's kind of a cutscene or a piece like that. So when you're looking on him front on, it is quite odd to see his eyes in the mask, because generally, if you're looking at him front on, you go into a version called detective mode, where he gets these kind of shields that drop over his eyes that turn them white, like you would find in the comics. And it goes into like this X-ray vision that, you know, identifies like, oh, this computer over here is something you want to go and interact with to move the story along. Or here's a, you know, chemical trail to follow down a hallway to lead you somewhere. Right. So in that mode, you can sort of turn the camera around so you can see he's kind of full outfit, but he's got these white marks over his eyes in that mode, whereas this is just his regular mode. So having those eyes in there is accurate to the game, but it's not something you would look at constantly with him front on, if that kind of makes sense. So there is weird elements like that you look at and you're like, something doesn't feel right here. And then you go and look at an image and it's like, oh no, he does look exactly like this in the game. It's just a bit not the way that I'm used to looking at him with. The other thing is too, in the game, particularly the first game, the cape is actually more of a dark blue, which I don't think we have here. I can see like a tiny bit of blue, but it could just be light reflecting off my computer monitor here, because I've got Notion background, but I think it is just a fairly black gray cape that runs through. But in the game, it's sort of slightly more of a blue color, but it does look odd. The DC Direct figure did use a dark blue cape, and it didn't quite work, even though it was accurate once you're turning that into plastic and not having a guy running around dark corridors. It doesn't work as well. So I think that's a choice that they've made to step away a little bit from the actual design to make a more faithful figure, Speaking of being accurate to the game, though, something weird is he comes with some gadgets. So you get two different versions of the Batarang, one folded, one unfolded, which is the iconic look of the Batarang from the Arkham games. But he also comes with the remote bat claw and a glue grenade. And what's weird about those pieces is they're from the Arkham's origin game, where the Batman looked quite different. It's meant to be a prequel game that takes place very early on in his career, and he's got more the stinted ears and kind of a weird, more armored look to his outfit that's very different from his sort of later years outfit that he's known for wearing through the other three games. So it's weird that they would include accessories from Arkham Origins in with this guy, other than maybe it was just because McFarlane is kind of a bit out there and he's known for just going like, oh, well, these ones kind of look more Toyotic for me, so I might go with these accessories. But I don't know if the glue grenade is necessarily Toyetic. It's just kind of this weird tube piece that's I would like to know the story behind that, whether maybe they were already working on an Origins Batman that got cancelled and they swapped those pieces over to here to save some work, or not too sure, but bit of a nod. But I do quite like these figures. I think they would actually go well if you just needed a generic Batman or Joker for your shelf.
I think the Joker is outstanding. I really like the sculpt is fantastic. I really like the head sculpt, and the detail on his suit, all of the little ridges and lines in like a pinstripe style suit. The level of detail in the sculpting is wow.
Yeah, no, it is absolutely fantastic. Even down to his shoes, like his shoes have kind of crocodile-y leather texture to them over the top. Like he's a very textured figure. You can feel the detail on your fingers when you pick it up. So, yeah, I do think they've done well with these guys. I'll be interested to see if they do other characters from these games going forward and expand it out, whether they'll just stick to the first game or if they'll draw from the other ones heading through. I know McFarlane said in a lot of interviews he's just kind of throwing a lot at the wall at the moment and seeing what sticks before they look at what they're coming back to. Like the next ones are the Gotham White Knight series, so you're going to have another Batman and Joker coming out there that's based on an Elseworlds tale with very stylistic art. But
another Batman?
Will be interesting. And there has been rumors of a fourth game coming based on the Court of Owls storyline, so obviously if a new massive blockbuster video game comes out, I'm sure we'll also get figures from McFarlane from that too.
Like it. You can dolly rate these because you are the subject matter expert.
I'm going to give them 8.5 for the nitpicks that I had and just the fact that we have gotten so many figures based off particularly this style of Batman before in the past from Mattel and DC Direct and even ones like Square Arts, Phoenix and Hot Toys and that type of thing. So it's not something I don't think you would necessarily get excited for, but I think if you pick them up and have them in your hands, they are one of the better renditions of this character, definitely probably the most poseable versions as well. So a very good setup. So I think 8.5 is a fair.
Nice.
Love it.
Very good. Very good. All right. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Eddie. We are going to take a short break and we'll come back for another Toy of the Week and hand over to Mr. Scotty.
The signal goes out. A ferocious feline is on the prowl.
It's Catwoman.
But Bruce Wayne's custom coupe is loaded with surprises. Batman returns.
What was that?
It's Batman.
Catwoman set the trap.
But Batman's unstoppable.
No, I'm not.
Batman strikes back.
Catwoman's here.
Batman returns.
Bruce Wayne figure included with custom coupe. Other figures sold separately.
Well, welcome back, valued listener. It is time for our second Toy of the Week, and Mr. Scotty, we are handing over to you.
Well, thank you, Ben. I am sticking with the same scale, but going up a little bit in the price range, and I am reviewing something that I kind of missed in the release schedule, and this is from the Mezco 112 Collective line, and it is a exclusive Wonder Woman classic figure. And I'm not actually sure where this originally came out. I think it was just a Mezco website exclusive, and and not kind of through other retailers. So the first time that I saw this figure was in a display photo of someone else's 112 Collective line, and I thought, oh my gosh, that must be a custom because I don't think they've made one, and that looks amazing. And then when I looked, I was like, wait, what? But thankfully, I managed to go to eBay and get one of these that for not a terrible price. I think they were originally about $90 US, so you know, like 5 billion Australian. But I got obviously had to spend a bit more than that with shipping, etc. But not mountains. So if you're not familiar with the Mezco 112 Collective line, this is the 1/12th scale, but with high-level sculpts, articulation, and often a fair bit of fabric in costumes, etc. So, and I do believe that they have done movie Wonder Woman already, but I don't collect the movie figures this line, so this is my first Wonder Woman. And I think that this is a really difficult character to do well when we get away from just sculpting. And at the moment that you introduce any kind of fabric, you know, etc., it's a tricky costume because there's not a lot of it. And then what do you do with the flesh tones? Do you do stockings? Do you do whatever? And that's why a lot of the 1/6 scale Wonder Woman efforts have not been amazing. The top of the line when it comes to bad clothed Wonder Woman has got to be the DC Direct 13-inch Wonder Woman from back in the day, which was the first and only time that my wife, who basically doesn't really understand these things, has said, I don't really understand these things, but that just looks not good. And she, speaking of diapers, she really did look like she had a diaper on, and it's just super unfortunate. So I'm pleased to say that Mezco has not made that mistake. They have stuck with a fair bit of sculpting. There are soft goods in but this was a 2019 release. I got it. So the first thing that I noticed about this when I opened it up is that the box is not the normal size Mezco box. It's a smaller box, and I had a panic for a moment of, oh no, is this a knockoff? It had a look. I saw this is the way that this was done. She's not short on accessories compared to the other figures, but I do need to just full disclosure with everyone, there is no plastic baggie.
No!
So obviously that's why the box is smaller. I know. Yeah, unless... oh no, I lied! Oh my god!
Ah, as you were.
Woo! I just found it.
Alright, back to the beginning of the episode. We've got to redo all this.
Sorry, we have to reboot the entire podcast. I'm so sorry, Miss. Never fear, 112 Collective Ziploc bag does come with it. We still have multi-layer trays where we haven't skimped on plastic either. It's just all smaller, and it actually works quite well. Interesting when we talk about Moon Knight later, to kind of look at that and see, like, do we really need all of that real estate? Because this is a bit more compact and fun. I'll talk about the main figure first, and then I'll talk about accessories. So they have, I think, really wisely stuck with sculpting. All of her tiara, the torso armor, the belt with the Wonder Woman insignia, the trunks, they're all sculpted. The sculpting is really beautifully done, and the level of detail is high. I think that, you know, one of the things that really elevates this beyond why would I spend the money on this as opposed to just a DC Collectibles, you know, Wonder Woman, is first of all the level of detail in all of the different elements is amazing. And you have just that fantastic level of articulation as well. The other thing that often happens with Wonder Woman, of course, is that when the articulation is really visible or bad, because there is so much exposed flesh, is that it's obvious and makes the figure look bad. This is not that. The relation, and there's 30 points. The thing I think that really makes this, though, is the head. It comes with two different portraits, one just kind of stern and one kind of open mouth, not scowling, but, you know, going into battle. And they are quite classic in terms of the hairstyle, etc. You could almost, there's kind of almost like a little Linda Carter element to the way that the hair is done, but still that kind of very sort of classic age appearance with the wider tiara that takes up a little space. Both of the head sculpts are amazing. The hairstyle the same on both expressions that change, very easy to swap on and off. And then, of course, what really makes these, as well as the great quality, are the accessories. So this comes with a lasso, which is something that can be posed with. It comes with two lassos. One is just a coiled one, which is a really nice piece, like a lot. It has got a bit of bend to it and has a little bit of flexibility, even though it's coiled. And then a fully posable lasso that has got obviously a bit of wire in it, which means that you can a number of different poses, etc. She comes with the Sword of Athena, with the battle axe, with shield, with a spear, and then she comes that I think makes sense. It does have posing. It's a blue cape with white stars on these, and then a clasp at the front. You kind of need to swap the head to pop this on most easily, but I'll definitely be posing with. And she comes with four sets of hands. So we have obviously just kind of relaxed fists, holding fists, relaxed hand, fist. Oh, they are slightly different. There's obviously, because she does have a number of different accessories, in the spear and the battle axe, etc., there's hands to hold, which is cool. I have not found the hands super easy to swap. It has the peg is on the wrist, and then the hands slip on and off, and obviously they are small, and so just kind of getting them on securely is a little bit of a challenge, depending on the hand. The one that slipped on most easily, of course, was then when I realized, oh, that's the wrong. So your mileage. But look, I won't labor this, because we are going to break down another Mezco in a moment, but I just felt that this was a really noteworthy acquisition, A, because it is a exclusive, and like I said, for me personally, it kind of slipped by. I mean, I'd seen this at some point, but I didn't realize that it wasn't getting a full retail release, that it was just a website exclusive. So I will need an eye out for that at the moment. But this is, I'm about to get my Mezcos into display, and this has really motivated me to do this, because I've got a pretty Justice League build up.
Yep.
Martian Manhunter, and you've got all your founders. Look, 10 out of 10, cannot fault this. Very excited. Happiest of days. So glad I was out on this.
Excellent. Yeah, very nice. She does look good. I think they've come a long way with the whole diaper effect. It's
Well, look, I think that, you know, they took a while to develop characters. I mean, the Catwoman, that is a bit of a figure, just, and I think there's less soft goods than what you might, but I think in terms of just making this actually work and fit in the line and not be kind of a standout that just hasn't succeeded, I think that they've made real and done a job. So well done, Mezco, and thanks for not cheaping out on the Ziploc bag either. I was really worried there for a moment.
Excellent.
Sorry for the fake news.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Scotty. We're going to take another short break and come back for our discussion topic of the week.
Impossible! The Hall of Justice under attack? Batman behind bars? New from Kenner's Superpowers Collection, Hall of Justice playset. Some assembly required. Vehicles and figures sold separately.
Well, now it's time for our discussion topic of the week. This is an opportunity for us to go into a little bit more depth for some of the stuff we've got, but in particular, when more than one of the hosts of the AFB podcast have the same item, we take the opportunity to do a toy breakdown. So we don't go into
fight to the death.
That's right, and we wreck our podcasting setups between segments and whatnot. So, and then
whoever wins gets both toys.
That's it. But we're not assigning dolly points, going into detailed breakdowns. Detailed discussions of articulation points, that sort of thing. It's more just a general, discussion about our thoughts of the same figure that we've picked up. And in continuing with the Mezco 112 collective theme, we are going to talk about Moon Knight. And for the purposes of this discussion, we shall just refer to him as Mark Spector rather than his assorted personalities they keep pimping in the comics. Mr. Scotty, the first thing I actually noticed about this guy when he arrived, and I was pretty excited, is usual Mezco 112 collective packaging, etc., but the slick white feel is very nice. I happened to put him down next to my old man Logan, and I think when they were putting old man Logan together, they were like, well, you know, what kind of color scheme should we go for? It's like, does he have a color scheme? And hey, just pick whatever colors. And so they kind of picked a brown and a yellow, and it's a kind of a pretty dull looking packaging, but this is actually pretty slick.
Yes, and we're in the different variations of packaging. This is the slide off cover version with no opening cover, which we've kind of landed on now. It is fun, and it's a bit like the Sideshow stuff, right? Like I think less is when you kind of get the logo, the icon, etc. It works. I really appreciate the backs of these and the way that they just photograph everything that it comes with, because I think, very handy for reviewers. Thank you very much. But B, just in terms of knowing, like, because it's easy sometimes, particularly when you unpack the main figure, to forget, like, oh, yeah, there's all this in the box and I should show that, or that looks like I'll lose it immediately. I'll never open that, right? So, yeah.
That's it. All right. And for clarification purposes, we will point out that this is the all white edition of Moon Knight. There's been a couple. That's so unlike Mezco, I know. Do they refer to it? The Crescent edition, I think, was the follow up one, which is actually sort of a black and white color scheme, which, he has had variations of his costume, but this is the straight white. I almost said classic, but then I think there's some elements of the costume that take it away from being sort of that classic feel.
Yeah, it is. The Crescent edition is the other edition, which is more like the most recent Marvel Legends Moon Knight that we got.
It is, yes.
Yeah, that's the Declan Shelby design.
Yes. And of course, one of the things I think, straight away, like as soon as Moon Knight was announced in the Mezco line, I thought, wow, this will be interesting because, let's face it, Moon Knight, is a really great opportunity for artists to use some of those fantastic shading techniques. And one of the things I guess they always do is they have his face mask sort of somewhat, eliminated by his hood, so you kind of almost get the effect that the mask is black. And of course, they've just gone with a straight white mask here, so he's entirely white. There's no sort of black highlights anywhere. So if you do want to have those nice moody shots, you will actually have to play with your lighting to sort of hide the face from light sources and whatnot. But anyway, like, we won't go into too much detail about the packaging. Let's get in there and talk about this guy. I was pretty excited for a number of reasons. I think the accessories they've actually chosen for this guy are really quite clever. And Moon Knight, I think, is one of those characters where, he has a few staples, like his little sort of crescent throwing darts. But other than that, I think, whichever artist is assigned to whichever version of his book at the time just seems to have fun and gives him whatever. I mean, Sienkiewicz in the original days, gave him his nunchucks and things, but they've just kind of added more and more stuff over the years. So he does does come kitted out.
Just one unpacking commentary. There is a bit of plastic wrap on the actual figure, which the figure obviously is wrapped in plastic. But one thing, and I understand why they do this, because obviously they're trying to avoid rub marks in transit. But it took me a moment. I was like, what face under that cowl? It looks so like there's nothing there. I'm like, oh, it's wrapped in plastic. And then there's also plastic under the belt, which, because this is such a white figure, it's like not immediately obvious. And again, it took me a moment to actually really see the figure for what it is and then go, oh wow, this is amazing, because I was so distracted by all the little bits of plastic that I had to pull out first. And I also found then, because I had to take the cowl off to remove the plastic on the head, it was actually quite a bit of work to get it back on securely.
Yes, yes.
So I just thought I'd mention that in case people buy this and unpacking.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, once we get into the packaging and, you know, you try not to lose half the accessories, you know, you get Moon Knight out, and he's a pretty visually pleasing figure, like aesthetically. He's got a lot going on. And one of the things, just talking about the styling of this figure, rather than sort of going for that, you know, traditional bodysuit with, you know, gloves, boots, belt, they've done that thing which I think, you know, XM Studios are superb at doing, and that is putting their own touches to, you know, I guess part of it is to make him a little bit more modern looking, but also just take away from the fact that he's wearing, you know, what's effectively a bodysuit. So he does have little kind of armor plates all over his body in various sensitive areas. And I think to a certain extent, to a certain extent, they seem to make sense. Like there's, you know, large kind of plates, and they do give you the impression that they are a kind of armor plate. I don't think they've done this just for the sake of breaking up the bodysuit. I think they've tried to sort of give it that, you know, realistic is probably not the right word, but, you know, there's sort of large armor plates on like the meat of his thigh and on his biceps, and obviously, you know, the whole chest plate as well. So it breaks up the bodysuit nicely. And I think the lines are quite pleasing for me anyway.
Oh, look, I think this is really quite an interesting study in just the cleverness of the design of these fabric costumes, because it takes you a moment to, like, I looked at it first in kind of in sculpt mode and thinking how much kind of sculpted, and then I was like, oh, sculpted, still a fabric, amazing cowl wore it.
Yes.
And which just, it makes so much sense, but it is, you know, that you're certainly not, they didn't take a holiday by going, oh, cool, it's an all white figure, we'll just, you know, make it easy and have a break. This is really intricate.
It is. It's
really intricate.
It's one of those ones that you're almost you want to get sort of posed and then, you know, leave it the hell alone, lest you catch some of this on, you know, the edge of a fingernail or something like that.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, and I do worry a little bit about just like you're exactly right. This is something I'm like, I want to get this in the display, and I never want to touch it again because I'm going to.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I think, you know, in addition to the sort of the nice armor plating effect, what we've got is, and it's kind of hard to tell whether they've deliberately gone for boots, and he has boots on, and those are just sort of broken up a little bit by the ankle articulation. But the way he kind of has these kind of high shin protectors, they actually do look a bit like greaves rather than boots. And I guess the same for his forearms. It's like, you know, are they meant to be gloves, or is he actually got sort of this Vambrace, you know, wrist protector kind of thing on? But either way, they're actually really sort of nicely sculpted, and I think they don't sort of take away from the rest of the figure. Like, they don't sort of give you that bulkiness or anything. It looks it all kind of falls into place quite neatly, and I guess they're maybe taking a couple of hints on the way they do Batman sometimes. So yeah, not just a fella in a bodysuit. We've got some nice little you know, extras in terms of, yeah, it's kind of that Netflix Daredevil feel, like, as in the costume has the plates in all the right places to sort of, you know, protect him. All right.
Very much, is it Mike Hawthorne? The Vengeance of Moon Knight run, which came out roughly around the same time as the Nolan Batman movies. They use this sort of armored plated design in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the breastplate on this raised sculpted hat.
Yes.
It's really lovely. And just visually, the shading that the decals give.
Yeah, it is. I think one of the things that I sort of was a bit taken aback, because I remember looking at the solicitations and going, oh, this looks really cool. Like, you know, he's got the hood and then there's the hood down and that sort of thing. But his cape is, you know, has this kind of stippled effect, almost like a leather look to it. And the hood or cowl over the top of the mask has that same kind of effect. But one's actually material and one's actually sculpted plastic. And they've actually managed to sort of match those patterns very, very closely that you wouldn't actually, you couldn't kind of tell. So I actually just presumed that his cowl that comes up over the top was actually attached to the cape, and but they're not. So that was actually a pleasant little surprise too.
Yeah, I suspect, you know, that would have been a hard thing to do soft goods wise and really make it its shape. Yes. And it's the iconic piece of the costume that's got to work. I get it.
Yeah. All right. Well, shall we run through the assorted accessories that we have here? So we have 10 hands. So the usual kind of Mezco generosity with the hands, and a couple of nice ones, I think, to talk about here that are a little bit different to what you would normally expect. So, of course, we get the Justin quote punchy hands, which come pretty much as standard, or fists as the rest of the world calls them, and there's a few sort of grabby hands and that kind of thing that allows him to hold onto weapons. But what's actually really cool is we get a couple of extra swap out hands that are weapons specific. So Moon Knight, of course, is known for throwing his little crescent darts, little razor sharp sort of crescent moons, and One Fist has actually got a bunch of those clenched between the fingers ready to actually throw, which is really, really cool. And then there's a right hand mimicking that's only holding the one. But what's actually neat is there's another set of hands that basically have effectively knuckle dusters, so they have these kind of spikes just sticking out over the knuckles for when he really needs to sort of rough somebody up. So kind of nice to look through the hands and not be greeted by just the usual, you know, variations, which I thought was actually, yeah, pretty neat.
Yes. I love the detail on these hands as well, like you said, particularly the knuckle duster type
hands. Yeah.
Groovy, just something different.
Yeah. And in terms of actual weapons, this is where things get quite interesting. He comes with some variations, and I'm pretty sure that this is all meant to be variations of the same thing. So we actually get what's effectively a short staff, and quite detailed in its sculpting and machining and whatnot. But then there's a couple of variations of that, and one is the gives you, I guess, the effect that he's kind of untwisted them and released a chain in between the two pieces to create nunchaku, if I guess, you know, that's okay. That's what it is. And then there's actually another version which has a significantly longer chain in between the two ends, and one of them actually ends in a grappling hook, so giving that impression. So I don't know, just I guess looking at the picture, Eddie, you know, Scotty, do you are we talking about the same weapon and just variation? I can't imagine him carrying all this gear. I kind of get the impression that this is a multi-use weapon.
I've always taken it that he's, he's got that sort of, because he's got that fortune behind him. He'd have gadgets and things like that. And, I'd imagine it's a multi-purpose sort of.
It'd be a hell of a lot of onboard tools. Otherwise, right. You know, he's not a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
So, no, I think that, that's how I take it, is the when you look at the metal ridging on the kind of white staff pieces of all the accessories, that this thing joins together and breaks apart to do
whatever he needs to at the time.
Yes.
Yeah. And we're actually talking real metal chain here, these little sort of machined pieces, and it kind of gives you that sort of confidence in that they're actually robust pieces. But I think also it's a bit of, you know, value for money too. Like, he's got these neat little metal weapons. I think Mezco have really gone all out here, which is quite nifty.
So, amazing.
And I think lastly, in the weapons department is a giant honking crescent moon, so almost a boomerang, I guess, sized crescent, not really a crescent dart, crescent moon that he can fling around, and that fits into one of those hands, which is quite neat. Scotty, did you want to talk about the alternate portrait?
You mean Dengar?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, what do you do? Like, they, I think they, rather than just giving us a mask off head, they've given us the, I have a black eye and need to tend to my owies, so I'll lift up the cowl head. But it just, I don't know, every time I see it, I'm like, Dengar? No, Moon Knight. Yeah. Okay. It's just a bit on. But it comes then with a separate piece, which is the lowered cowl, which is cool. I probably would have been happier with just a unmasked head than this, because it's a bit neff. But if you really wanted to do that, I'm sure you could work out a unmasked head from another figure that would probably suffice.
I got to say, as the guy who doesn't have this figure, that's actually my favorite part of this, and something I love about, because you do see this look often in the comics of after sort of a bit of a beatdown, and you know, it's probably something he's more likely to do while he's still the rest of him's in costume.
Yeah. Oh no, I think it's clever. So it's definitely. It's
and
not
something
in.
We see too often. So
I think Moon Knight's mental state also gets him beat up a fair bit, because he throws himself into some of these conflicts. Look, the detail in the that alternate portrait is fantastic, and I think this is where Mezco shine, particularly at this scale. The effect on the skin compared to, say, a Marvel Legend, is just leaps. It's just light years ahead in the detail, and it's beautifully painted as well. Like, it's really spot on. Like, it feels like a hot toy that's been scaled down, which I think is really, really impressive. The other thing is Mark Spector doesn't really have that kind of look. Like, if you took Moon Knight out of costume and stood him in civvies, it's not like people would actually pick him straight away like you would Clark Kent with his glasses, and, you know, Peter Parker, etc. Sure. So I would have been quite happy with an unmasked head as well. But I think Eddie's right that the beat up thing suits Moon Knight, but I also think it's a little bit overdone. Like, it seems to be their go-to portrait for things like this. Like, you know, the Punisher came with a beat up head, and you know, everybody seems to come with an alternate beat up head. So look, it's not the sort of head that I would ever display. I think Moon Knight's got a very iconic look when he's got that that full sort of face mask on and the cowl over the top. So that would be my choice. So I think that pretty much rounds it out, except for the alternate cowl piece, which of course is gives you the effect that he's kind of flicked that back in order to raise his mask up. So there's a second cowl, sculpted cowl, that kind of it looks like it's been folded down. So you've got to gently yank that off, and the good thing is it works with both heads as well. So that's quite neat. I'm gonna talk about the bit that annoys me the most about this figure. I mean, up until now, I've been pretty sort of glowing, and I'm gonna stick by that. But in the original solicitation, the cloak looks like, it actually kind of looks like it's one piece with the cowl, and it sits quite neatly under the cowl at the front, you know, where I guess the bottom of his neck is. But in hand, the finished piece that we've got, it's the cape is quite heavily bunched at the front, sort of under where the cowl is, and you can kind of fuss around with it and try and jig it and stretch it out and pull this bit over here so that it doesn't wrinkle, and then move this over here to try and flatten it out a bit. But you can't help but kind of still end up with this bunched up cape under his chin, and it almost kind of looks like he's wearing a scarf, you know, around his neck in addition to the cape. And I don't know about you, Scotty, but I can't eliminate that bulkiness at that particular point on the figure, and it actually started to frustrate me to the point where I actually put it back into the box and left it for a few days before coming back to it.
It is a bit tricky. Like, I think that the cowl fitting on the neck. First of all, you know, the moment that you kind of take it off to do something, just kind of getting it back on securely is tricky. And then there is, I think, just a little bit of a, yeah, like you say, that it does bunch up there. And I'm not going to, I'm sure that if could sew, et cetera, you probably actually could structure it. But it definitely does bunch up there in a way that you expect. And if you look at the promo, as you said, it's actually quite difficult to achieve that because of the amount of brick that is there.
Yeah. It's kind of a weird choice. Like, I kind of look at it and I'm trying to work out exactly how they kind of engineered it to be like this and why there wasn't a better alternative. You know, it's an odd one. So there's a few things to watch out when you are having a bit of a play and swapping out the portraits and stuff. Like, one of the things I noticed is you put on the masked portrait and then you pop the hood back over. And if you're not paying attention, they actually don't line up. So you actually kind of get this guy wearing a hood, but then his head's half turned around and one eye is kind of inside the cowl. And then you're sort of trying to stick your finger in there to, you know, rotate his head without turning the cowl, and so then, you know, it's just easier to take it off and then gently place it back over the top again. So a couple of things. And
the other possible answer to the Kate thing that the factory was supposed to
I do wonder, yes. and I was contemplating that, you know, is it worth trying to pull it apart, but I'm afraid that I'd never sort of get it back to even the way it was, and I'd just make it worse. So yeah, but I think a lot of this guy, you know, just having a bit of a play with this figure and with the sheer number of options with posing him, you know, he's very toyetic. He looks great.
Oh,
if you've
gosh,
got
yes.
any posing skills whatsoever, you can get him into some pretty groovy poses. So, yeah, I think you can mostly eliminate it once you get into some fun poses and just get him happening. So, yeah, I mean, there's so much great detail in a figure that's just completely white. You'd kind of, you know, we're so used to talking about washes here or highlights there, and this figure has none of that. Like, it's not like they've done huge black washes in the creases of, you know, his white armor to make that stand out. It's it's a really nice achievement, and it's almost as if those plates that are on there are just a slightly different white to the fabric that's underneath, and whether that's intentional or they just, you know, because they're two different materials, they just couldn't match it. But they're just, one's kind of white and one's an off-white, and they complement each other really, really well. So, yeah, so cape aside, I really don't have a lot of nitpicks with this figure. They've done such a great job.
Agree. I'm a fan. Like, you know, Moon Knight's not in my kind of, you know, top 10 favorite characters, but I think this figure is super fun, particularly, again, when you take something that could have been not successful when you're dealing with just basically without a broad color palette, and, you know, the way that they've managed to still achieve a bit of shading, etc., in this, I think you really have to fully appreciate it, but I am forward to displaying this.
Absolutely. Oh, and speaking of, and you're not going to hear this from me very often, but he actually comes with a display base that's pretty usable. So
yes.
As many people would know, I am not a fan of display bases that have either, you know, really obvious logos or even, you know, even worse, names written on them, because, you know, I don't need, you know, Batman written on a base to know that it's Batman. But this one's a black disc with kind of like an inner white circle with then a black crescent moon, and, you know, it's pretty obvious that it's Moon Knight, but I think it's actually something that could work. I could see this kind of you know, as something in the floor of his mansion that allows him to get to, you know, the moon cave.
Very cool.
Yeah,
very cool.
Excellent. And you're not tempted, Mr. Reddy, to dip your toes into these waters?
I've got the Deadpool. My Deadpool shelf, but they are definitely, I am more impressed with Metzko the longer they go on and the newer figures that come out, and this is one that I was actually a big fan of and slightly tempted until we got actually the solicitation this week that Marvel's doing a more white version of Moon Knight, which has sort of quelled my want for this one a bit. So that they are slightly getting more tempting as time goes on. But yeah, there's still something about cloth on this scale that just doesn't still sit right with my eye. As much as there's things that they're doing fantastic, like I look at them and go like, man, if you could get the detail of, as you were saying, that Hot Toys head and pieces, but you know, maybe on a sculpted figure, sort of similar to the Wonder Woman Scotty was talking about before, where it's like, oh, so that seems a bit nicer, or the Iron Man that came out, where it's like, okay, this is just all sculpt like that. Those ones are sort of more appealing to me than clothed up suit figures. Yeah. I don't know. I keep flipping a bit, so don't be shocked if I do a review of one in the future, but it's probably not the near future yet.
Excellent.
Yeah, you gotta have limits.
Yeah, that's the other thing. There's also way too many things.
True. Very good. All right. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. We are going to take a pause. We're going to come back and wrap the show up. Well, it's that time of the show where we wrap things up. And before we go, if you'd like to hear your questions, comments, or suggestions on future episodes, you can email us at podcast@actionfigureblues.com. You may just hear it read out. Alternatively, feel free to seek us out on Facebook, where you'll find the Action Figure Blues community, a safe and fun place to discuss your toy hobbies. All right, guys, it's been fun. Any last shout-outs or other considerations before we go?
I was saying in the break that I've been terrible with organizing feedback to read out, and we haven't been getting as much because we haven't been doing it, but we really do love hearing from you. So please, your podcast at actionfigureblues.com or AFBlues on Twitter, find us, and I will get back into the habit. But, of course, you can talk to us directly in our amazing Facebook community, which is a great group of people. So
it is indeed. Options.
I actually often feel bad if I get distracted and, you know, sometimes I'll take a day or two away from social media and I come back to that group and say, oh, people have been having conversations without me. Oh, it's still like it's become such a thing that it keeps going on even if we're not there to foster it, which is lovely. Hilarious. So, yeah.
That's funny.
It is.
All right. That's it for this episode. Thank you very much for joining us, guys. It's been fun. Let's do it again.
All right.
Good journey.
Catch you next time.
Good night, nerds. The Action Figure Blues podcast can be found on iTunes and Stitcher Radio and can be downloaded direct from actionfigureblues.com. Wherever you listen, please take a moment to leave a positive rating and review to help others find our show. Our theme music is by Robert Crandall. Our ad music is by Scott Holmes. The AFB logo is created by Nath Stones. We also have an active fan forum at afbforum.com, where you can join with all the hosts of the podcast and many other collectors to discuss news, reviews, old lines, and trade and sell in a safe community. Please join us there. While you're at actionfigureblues.com, please check out our sponsors like Max Comics and Stuff, Loot Crate, Audible, and Gamefly. You can find us on Twitter at AFBlues, on Instagram at ActionFigureBlues, and on Facebook at facebook.com/ActionFigureBlues. Thanks for listening.